What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We have so much to get into in today's show. We have a current Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer, and Aaron Ladd on the show today. Denny Matthews is going to be on the show in the 3 o'clock hour. Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the show in the 3 o'clock hour. Aaron Ladd's on in 15 minutes. Denny Matthews, who is in Cooperstown. Patrick Mahomes, who one day is going to be in Canton. Aaron Ladd, who's going to be on the show later today. We have so much to get into. I appreciate you guys listening to the show. Thank you so much for making us a part of your Tuesday. I had a fantastic Monday night. I hope that you did as well. Rob is doing well. I'm doing well. Hopefully you are doing well. The Royals, they're doing good too. We'll get to them after this.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations in Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, Midtown. They got places all over the city with a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether it's a slice or a whole pie, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you also want to get ready as the Royals continue to push towards the playoffs, the best place to do that is with us right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, let's start with this, my friends. Let's start with the standings. I always feel like updating you guys on the standings because things are great. Kansas City right now is 2.5 games back of the Baltimore Orioles. If the postseason started today, the Royals would go on the road to Baltimore for a 3-game series. You win that 3-game series, you get to go to the big playoffs called the ALDS. The Royals have a 2.5 game lead on the Minnesota Twins. They have a 4-game lead on the Detroit Tigers. That is noteworthy because right now they are playing the Detroit Tigers. The Royals hit a grand slam yesterday. They had a grand slam. Lost the game. Now, I don't know what the percentages of that happening is. I don't know what the win probability is, but yesterday the Royals had a 4-0 lead at home against the Detroit Tigers and lost that game 7-6. Now, I don't want to overreact. I don't want to panic, and I don't want you to be panicked. That's why I read the standings, because it is important. But I would like to note for this team, we are coming to the end. There are 11 games left in the Major League Baseball season. They are playing one of the few teams in Major League Baseball that could not only still make the playoffs, but could also catch them. The Royals need to win one of these next two games. Now, if they lose both of these, I don't want you to say that the house is on fire, because it is not on fire, but it gives Detroit the ability to cut the Royals' lead that they currently have in half. And tomorrow, they are going up against arguably the best pitcher in the American League. So if you have to win one of the next two games, it is far more likely that you win the game today that you are the favorite in, as opposed to the game tomorrow. That's it. Rob, I do want to get your opinion on this. Again, I don't want to overreact. I don't want to freak people out. I'm not here to be Chicken Little and tell you that the sky is falling. The Royals are right there. But as we saw yesterday with the Philadelphia Eagles, and we'll get to that in a bit, being almost there doesn't mean that you score. You still got to put the ball in the end zone. You still have to run through the finish line. And the Royals are right there on the postseason. There are not many teams that can catch them. I don't think it's realistic that Boston is going to catch them. They're a 500 team. I don't think that Seattle is going to catch the Kansas City Royals. The only team that possibly could catch them is Minnesota, but they've got a 2.5 game lead, and they have a 4 game lead on the Tigers. You do not need to win both of the next two games, but you do need to win one of them. And based on what I think the percentages are going to be, based on what I think Vegas thinks, I think it's possible that the Royals are an underdog in tomorrow's game going up against Tyreek Skrubel. And they are our current favorite today. So if you were going to say what is more likely, which is the easier of the two games to win, it is certainly the game that they have tonight coming up at Kauffman Stadium. Win today. We love a good basketball analogy on here. If you win this game today, you continue to push your lead, and there's just not a lot of time left for the Tigers to be able to catch you. We are talking about there are 2 weekends left in the baseball season. This thing is about over. And you continue to chip away at their probability of making the postseason, and you only gain 2 yours. You got a chance with every win against the Tigers to cut your magic number by 2 by winning this. Their magic number right now is, Rob, 8. If you win this, it is now 6. If you win these next 2 games, it's 4 with 11 games to go. So it is still highly likely, highly probable that the Royals are going to make the postseason. But you still got to take care of business. You still got to win the necessary games. And one of these next 2 games against the Tigers is just that.
I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like you're not saying it's must win. I would agree with you. Tonight is not a must win. But it is starting to tiptoe around must win if you get swept by the Tigers. Because now, what we called a couple weeks ago kind of an over race, and you felt like they were locked to make the postseason. Now, going into the weekend, your Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because the Royals are off on Thursday, you're chewing on your fingernails a little bit. You're looking around, you're scoreboard watching, you're wondering, hey, how are the Tigers doing? They're coming up on us. How are the Orioles doing? What are the Twins up to nowadays? Like, it is not must win, but if you want a comfortable weekend of Royals baseball, if you want a comfortable week of that sensation of, hey, the playoffs are coming and I'm excited because that's not what I anticipated this year, you need to take one of the next 2. Tread water, as we've called it for a lot of the season. Tread water in this series and win tonight. And then take your chances with Skrubel tomorrow, but you can't be down 0-2 in this series facing Skrubel. That is a bad situation to be in.
Yeah, and it's just an unnecessary position to put yourself into where you feel like a game that you have to win and you're going up against arguably the best pitcher in the American League. If you're going to do that, you have the right pitcher at least going today to make sure that you get one of these 2 wins. It would just be, it is in the Royals' best interest to take care of business today against the Detroit Tigers. And tomorrow, let the chips fall where they may. You win today, either you win on Wednesday or you lose on Wednesday. You are no better or no worse off for it, in my opinion, if that's the case. I do want to talk a little bit of football. We got Aaron Ladd coming on the show here in about 5 minutes or so. Man, the margin for error in the NFL is so razor thin. Maybe I am the only person that thinks this. And I was listening to Nick Wright earlier. He was on Cowherd Show. We were talking about it in the office. I feel like I am the only person that is thinking, are we not more mad at the players for not executing? I understand that Nick Sirianni is taking all the arrows in the world today for the decision. And I agree that if the Eagles hand the ball off at the end of the game, even if we see a slip in the backfield and Saquon Barkley loses 2 yards on the play, with the amount of time that is left in the game, it is going to be very, very difficult for Atlanta to put themselves in a position where they go down the field and score and beat you. It is 3rd and 3 from the Philadelphia 10-yard line. It is 1:46 left on the clock. Atlanta does not have another timeout. The Eagles call a pass play. They call, I think, the perfect pass play. Saquon Barkley is wide open. Wide open. You catch it, you fall to the ground, you win the game. Sometimes you can do the right thing and get the wrong result. And boy, did they get the wrong result. The pass falls incomplete. It is now 4th and 3. They then kick a field goal. And now Atlanta has the ball back with a 1:40, albeit no timeouts and on the road. But you give yourself a realistic chance to go down the field. And that is exactly what they did. 6 plays, 70 yards, 1 minute off the clock, and they win the game 22-21, and Nick Sirianni is getting killed for it. We'll talk more about this decision over the course of the show today, but it just goes to show you how razor thin the margin of error is in the NFL, and how we all like to say that we don't do it, but we do play the result. If Saquon Barkley catches that pass and the Eagles win the game, they are 2-0. They just got a good win against what people thought was going to be a good Falcons team, and the Eagles are considered to be the best team in the NFC. Certainly in the conversation. San Francisco lost. The Lions lost. They'd be 2-0 right now, and they just beat the Falcons at home. And they beat the Packers in week one when the Packers had Jordan Love. I know he got hurt on the last play of the game, but Jordan Love played 98% of the game. The Eagles would be considered the best team in the NFC. Saquon Barkley drops that pass. The Falcons go down the field. And now we're having the conversation once again about Nick Sirianni being on the hot seat. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. And you got to execute in the National Football League. But boy, if that doesn't show you how razor thin the margins are in the National Football League, I don't know if there's anything that will. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Aaron Ladd of KSHB 41 News. He made a major announcement this week. He'll tell us more about it. Keep right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike Scott.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This.
He thinks he's internet famous.
Smoking on the Joe Barrow.
How's it feel to be headed back to Super Bowl?
It feels great.
But you have no idea who he is. It's Aaron Ladd, and he joins The Drive with CDOT.
We have a very special grouping of guests on the show today. Denny Matthews is going to be on the show today to talk about the Kansas City Royals, who are headed to the postseason. possibly one of the five greatest living football players is going to be on the show later today. And Patrick Mahomes, he's certainly done enough in his short career to warrant that level of praise. We're working on getting somebody from Cleveland. It is now official. Kareem Hunt is the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Aaron Lyons on the show today. Hey, Aaron, how you doing, man?
I mean, you can't give me no kind of love, no praise. That was one of the nastiest intros I think I've ever heard.
How you doing today, man? I'm so happy to have you on the show today, man. Your last time as a guest of KSHB 41 News. So I was on Twitter earlier today. I'm scrolling around just trying to get started for my day.
Sure.
And I see a picture of Aaron Ladd tweeted out by the Kansas City Star. Your departure is worthy of commentary from the Kansas City Star.
I keep telling y'all.
Who are you, Larry Moore?
I tell you.
Who are you, Chris
Kent? The whole intro is, you know, he thinks he's internet famous, but, you know, every once in a while, I'll be doing something.
No, I could certainly tell. I couldn't believe that the Kansas City Star reported. That's how I know that paper's dying. They're struggling for
slow news.
Struggling for news. So have you told people officially where you are going?
I don't think it was a secret.
You've known for a while. I don't know if Tim in Topeka knows where you're going. I don't know if you want to tell Tim in Topeka where you're going. I know where you're headed.
Yeah, I got a weekend sports anchor job at the CBS station in Atlanta. I'll be starting on Sunday.
So you're going to be doing the same thing that you're doing now?
Correct. Just closer to home with a bigger paycheck now.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see what it is. Just saying Kansas City wasn't good enough for you. So
you used Kansas City for a promotion. There you go,
and
man.
Then now you think you can move on to bigger and better. That's what you're trying to tell us what happened.
I remember when I first told you, you
traded Main Street for Magic City. Is that what you did?
You were like, man, y'all TV people, y'all always up and leave. You sounded heartbroken too a little bit.
I was hurt. You want to know why? Because I poured so much time into you.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I poured so much time into building you up. And now when I'm starting to see the fruits of my labor and I'm starting to see my good advice, I'm starting to see how it's had an impression on you. And now you're leaving on me. It makes me sad. It makes me heartbroken that you're leaving.
There were so many responses that were like, and I want to salute Lad's Army showed up. I want to salute the drive and the listeners, all that. Because there were so many people that were like, yo, love this segment, love that hour, gonna miss you all working together. Somebody, I think, even said, this is Carrington's fault, right? And I was like, yeah, absolutely.
It's my fault. That's wild. That is wild that I take blame for this. So I'm happy that you were here. The Falcons are in the news today because of one of the most exciting regular season wins that you guys have had.
Thrilling.
That game was over.
Thrilling.
And you pulled defeat out. It was incredible. What you guys did yesterday. Let's talk about Kareem Hunt.
Sure.
I have two maybe sides of the coin for the Kareem Hunt argument. This is what I said yesterday. On one side of the coin, it is the off the field. It is impossible to not discuss the off the field portion of this. The Chiefs fired this individual a couple of years ago.
Sure.
We all know why they fired him. They did not fire him for poor performance. This wasn't like Kadarius Toney. Hey, it just didn't work out on the field, so we let MBS. You go. Hey, we're going to bring you back. That's not why he got let go. That's not why he got fired. He got fired for, we have video evidence of him kicking a woman and him lying about his interactions with this woman. That got you kicked off the team. Now, you and I have been out enough in Kansas City to know that man had a residency at Mosaic. Mosaic is still there. You know he did. I'm not saying nothing that people don't know about Kareem Hunt. Jeez. Mosaic is still there. So on one side, the human side of it, everybody condemns what he did. But I do believe in the concept of second chances, but you also have to do things that warrant a second chance. I can't speak to how Kareem Hunt's life has been over the last 4 or 5 years or so. That's something that the team, they obviously have asked him about it, and they have decided that it is safe to now bring him back. It is okay to now bring him back. Now, tomorrow at the press conference, Andy's going to be asked about this. Clark's going to be asked about this. Brett Veach is going to be asked about this. And I hope that they're ready and prepared to answer these questions. On the football side of it, it's kind of six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. There are probably 8 to 10 guys that used to be really good in 2015, 2016 that are now available in free agency. And they just picked one that had the most, knowledge of the playbook and of the system.
Yeah.
This isn't different than if you had got Leonard Fournette. This isn't different than if you had got Damian Harris or Boston Scott or one of these kind of guys. We're talking about a player who over the last 2 years have averaged 3.4 yards per carry. So I just want to go into this with
running backs as soon as they hit 30, basically.
I'm going into this with a reasonable expectation of what he's going to be on the field. But that's what they need right now. They are really thin at that position, and there's not a lot of great answers and suggestions at this point of the NFL season.
They were thin coming into the year.
They
remember coming on this exact platform in this seat right here, and I told you I'm worried about the running back room. I told you Isaiah Pacheco was going to get hurt at some point, Dot. He didn't think it was going to be in week two. He didn't think it was going to be for this long of an injury. But I was always worried about what the room looked like behind Pacheco. Add in what's going on with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and him being on the NFI list. Yeah, they're kind of in this bargain bin shopping where it's like we've missed the big window to get guys who are in this part of their career to sign with teams. I don't think Kareem Hunt is going to come in and give you anything more than what we've seen the last few years. And I think it really helped that he had a Nick Chubb to kind of steady out and be the Robin or be the Robin to his Batman. But here in KC, I think it's going to be the short pass game turns into their version of running as well.
I just think for what the Chiefs needed, I don't know if you can be too down on this move. The Chiefs needed somebody who was going to get you between 4 to 8 carries a game.
A known commodity. Too.
That's all they were going to get. They weren't going to bring up somebody from the practice squad who had never played before. They were not going to go grab Dalvin Cook off the Cowboys practice squad. There was about 8 realistic names, and they were going to pick one of them to come join the team and be able to help.
Cody Schrader should have been in that mix.
A guy who was also unproven and a guy who has not done this at this level. So you needed somebody who had
Absolutely.
A little bit of experience.
Yeah.
You got Carson Steele. I think he's going to be your number one running back for the next 6 weeks or so. You needed somebody else to kind of split those carries. Let's say Carson gets 8 carries, Kareem Hunt gets 6 carries, and you also throw it to Piran out of the backfield. That's going to be their run game for the next couple of weeks. Now, if it doesn't work, and let's say that Isaiah Pacheco isn't coming back until a little later in the year, maybe then you make a conversation about, hey, are we going to make a trade for somebody? Maybe then we can have the conversation about Miles Sanders. Maybe you then go get Devin Singletary from the New York Giants if they're out of it. But the Chiefs were never trading a 5th-round pick for a running back at week 3. That's just not how the NFL works.
Brett Veach has shown this propensity to be a bargain shopper, too. Like, he's not going to swing for the fences on what is essentially a gap piece or a Band-Aid signing or something like that. Like, he wants to win in the margins. He knows that he's going to have to spend money on Nick Bolton, spend money on Trey Smith. He's going to have to spend money on Creed Humphrey. Like, of course, Trent McDuffie's deal is coming down the line eventually. They'll spend money there, but when it's time to do these little Band-Aid, we need a fix, we need to patch up a hole here and there, they're not spending real value on that. This Kareem Hunt deal doesn't surprise me, and it's also classic to how they like to do business, too. Like, floating the information out there. Hey, they're thinking about it, kind of as seeing what the temperature check on it would be. Hey, how would the fan base react if we brought this guy back? Similar to what you were saying about the personal piece. But once that kind of cleared and that check goes through, the physical and all that aspect, they get that done. I'm not surprised by this deal.
I'm not surprised that the backlash wasn't very intense on this because there weren't any incidents in Cleveland. Now, if he had had an incident in Cleveland or it had been kind of a checkered pass, that'd be a little bit different of a conversation.
An isolated incident almost.
It seems like he has turned the corner and has matured. Now, again, I don't know. I don't know Kareem Hunt. I don't know. So that's why I say this is something to me that you have to defer to Andy Reid. You have to defer to the coaching staff.
What are they going
to
say? Or what are you expecting them to say?
I mean,
they're not going to say anything.
We vetted them properly. The same thing they always say in this scenario.
I mean, I don't think that do fans, quote unquote, care about this anymore?
No.
Because I felt like the whole original moment was so much off of the Ray Rice and the NFL was still grappling with the personal conduct policy and how do these players get suspended? Are we going to put clauses in their contract? I mean, if Chiefs keep winning games, I don't hear fans calling for reprimand from this incident.
I will say, though, I do believe, at least with this, it is going to be a one strike and you're out policy where with another player, they'd be given a little bit more rope and a little bit leniency. you aren't a good enough player to get that leniency anymore, and you've already used up kind of all of your goodwill and now getting back on the team. If there is anything that happens with Kareem Hunt, he will be out of here.
I mean, Hendershot got sent, got given his
immediately they got him out of here.
Did he unpack his bags?
Immediately. That boy hadn't even, he hadn't even gotten an apartment yet. He was still staying in a hotel, and they got Peyton Hendershot smooth out of
here. That's crazy. That was an expensive fine.
It was.
Especially for the organization. I mean, sheesh. They really, they want to make an example out of teams probably.
Yeah, they're going to charge you one extra quarter on a Sprite, and it's going to make up for it in the first quarter of the game. Do you think they let Kareem Hunt talk tomorrow?
Look.
Because I would say really quickly, though, I would say if you are him, and you really are different, and you really are changed.
You want to get out ahead of
it. I want to do the press conference tomorrow.
That's typically how I think these things should be done. But the Chiefs, especially this offseason, you know, there was a couple of things. Like,
you can't hide them forever, though.
Rashee Rice, Harrison Butker. There was a couple stories where you knew it was going to be a hairy presser, and they kind of like, you know, they swept up over here, swept up over there.
I don't think they did that. I think they let Rashee Rice talk, but you know, it is an ongoing legal investigation, so there's only so much he could say. They let Harrison Butker talk. I actually give Harrison Butker a lot of credit for the first press conference that he did after that. He didn't back down. This is how I feel. Sure. This is how I live. I'm cool. So if you are the Chiefs, tomorrow only three people need to talk. Andy Reid needs to talk, Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt, and then you do the Brett Veach conversation on Thursday or
Brett Veach's not going to talk on this. This is an Andy Reid led thing. What is Brett Veach going to say?
I don't know if you can dismiss a player the way that they did, bring him back, and the general manager not speak on it and do something on it.
I'll be monitoring from Atlanta.
Here you go.
Not my pig, not my farm anymore.
Now we need you. Now we need you to be in the trenches asking the questions. If you're not in the trenches asking the questions.
Y'all are good. The Stars got eight reporters on the Chiefs beat. They'll be all right.
Where does yesterday rank in terms of Falcons wins for you? Because you guys have lost the game.
97% chance that Philly ends it out before that Saquon drop. It was good. And I think narrative, so much of what we do, of course, we talk for a living, but so much of it is narrative based. And the narrative coming out of week one around Kirk was that he can't do it at a high level anymore. He's done. He not only physically can he not do it, but he doesn't have the same confidence, and he's not the same confident play caller and ball thrower and all the stuff we heard nationally about his stance and all. Like, it just, for it to happen in the way it did, walk your man down, give me a minute 30 with all of that noise happening, it was vindicating. I don't want to say it like makes it right, or they made the right move and how they handled the Penix thing. Like, all of that is still to be decided. But that win in that manner, it gives you a lot of confidence going into Sunday night.
I have a couple of different thoughts about this, and I'm actually happy that you're here because I watched the entire fourth quarter of the game. I guess the first thought is, and we talked about this off the open, man, it just goes to show you the razor thin margin of the National Football
Game was over.
I mean, if Saquon Barkley just simply catches the ball, you don't got to make a guy miss. Don't got to do anything. If you simply catch the ball and fall to the ground, the Eagles win the game. Now, we can agree.
Why did they not run the ball?
I think they tried to catch him off guard.
Even if you don't get the first down, the clock runs. And you at least, you play the end game. Like, we were talking about this with Georgia. Georgia and Kentucky, that game was so tight. But Kirby Smart is so good at once he can play the end game out. Like, some coaches are just elite in that. I have the ball, and I know exactly which play calls to run out, and our team can execute this so we can squeeze the air out of the ball and end the game. If Philly, it just seems like they have had multiple opportunities, not just last night, but I think back to last year in KC, they left time on the clock, right? Like, there's been times when you can poke holes in Nick Sirianni's game management. And maybe a lot of that has to do with him changing his staff over so much.
100%. I guess for me, and maybe where I'm a little bit on the different side of the coin of this argument is, man, at what point do we just blame players for not executing the plays? The offensive coordinator called a perfect play to get you wide open in space, and you dropped a pass that you catch 99% of the time. You got to make that play if you're Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon Barkley is the second best running back in the NFL behind Christian McCaffrey. I feel very validated in that opinion based on how he's played so far in the first two games of the NFL season. You trusted your best player to make a play, and he didn't make a play in that scenario. Some of that has to be on Saquon Barkley to go out there and do it.
Okay, but the defense still had 75 yards 100%. To their back, knowing that Kirk needed seven.
The Eagles' defense is not good.
Like, you can't just overlook.
100%. The other thing is, can we please give up on this Kyle Pitts thing? He's not good. I don't know why we've been doing this.
I'm not giving
we
up.
We have
on
been
that.
Doing this for 3 years with him.
Kyle
we have
Pitts
been
is, what,
arguing.
23 years old? 20? You're giving up with a player that can't even rent a car yet? Like, come on, Doc.
How many games of Kyle Pitts do we need to see to come to this conclusion? Because
we're at
over 30 games of Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts had you at quarterback for the first two seasons of his career.
He has played 46 games in his NFL career. How many more games
one of them
do we
he got,
need to see?
One season he got hurt. I'm not out on Kyle Pitts because I don't think he had a creative offensive
mind. I just would like to point out the season he got hurt, you're right, he played in 10 games. He had 28 catches for 356 yards in 10 games. He wasn't balling out before
his
injury
rookie
happened.
Season, he had 1,000 yards.
Yeah, and ever since then, you had a spark when you started.
How old is he?
He is 24 years
you're
old.
You're giving up a player who's 24? 24, Dot. Think about that.
How is Kadarius Toney? How is Bryce Young? I tried to tell you. I told you two weeks ago.
I'm still
Bryce
not out
Young
on Bryce
is
Young.
Done.
He needs to be
on
done with
this
Carolina.
Radio show. That was your talk about whatever you want to talk about. I'm not giving up on Bryce
You said give me
Bryce
a bold
Young.
Prediction after week one, and I said I still believe in Bryce Young.
Yeah, and then 1 week later, he got fired for Andy Dalton.
He needs to get out of Carolina. He needs to get out of Carolina. Carolina is a bad. I mean, after the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. We know that there are like two really bad teams, and Carolina is one of them.
We just been arguing potential with Kyle Pitts for too long that it's just, bro. At some point, you ain't got it. I don't think
based
Kyle
on
Pitts
what?
Has
he had a touchdown
it.
In week one.
He has 6 catches for 46 yards so far this season.
Well, they scored 10 points.
He's like their 5th offensive player, and he was the 4th overall pick.
I'm not giving up on him. I do think that he was overdrafted, and I think we can 100%. Honestly say that. I think he was the highest tight end ever drafted in NFL history.
That's because he's Darnell Washington.
But the physical, you know, the guys go to the combine.
He looks the part, yeah.
And
he looks the part.
Put on boxer shorts, and every scout salivates for a week and a half.
Yeah, and we fall for that guy, David Njoku for the Browns. We've been expecting David Njoku to take this
the underwear
big
Olympians.
Jump. Yeah, take this big jump, and he's never taken this big jump.
I think I saw
we've been doing that same thing with Kyle Pitts. How many times in your mention has it been, hey, man, Chiefs should trade for Kyle Pitts. They should trade a second. No. But he stinks.
The goal is that you find somebody who can maximize those physical traits in an offense. I don't give him a lot of slack because his first couple quarterbacks were what? Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke.
I mean, Tyler Allgeier been getting off. Bijan Robinson been getting off.
They're running backs.
Drake London looks like
they're running backs.
Drake London looks like he could be a productive player in the league. I'm not getting that sense from Kyle Pitts.
Also, tight end, and you know this from playing fantasy, tight end is just not a – I mean, there's probably, what, 10 yeah. great tight ends
yeah,
in the league?
You would think if you spent the 4th overall pick on one, you would think that you have one of those guys, and you don't.
He's part of the group. You thought that he was going to be a star player, and he's just a player.
I thought he would be Sam Laporta at a floor. I thought he could be that.
But he's not – he's more of a finesse-type tight end.
He's
not
even
a
top 10 player at his position in the league.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, which if you're the 4th overall pick at that position, you better be an all-pro caliber
Kelsey,
kind of player.
Yeah.
You better be an all-pro caliber player. You better be TJ Hawkinson, and he's not that.
I looking ahead to Sunday Night Football now, I'll take an Atlanta.
Of course, you work there now.
Okay.
You think,
okay.
I'm just – Aaron Ladd, you want me to think your first day on the job in Atlanta, you were going to go on there and say, I'm picking against the home team tonight? Come on now. I might have been born tonight, but it wasn't last night. I didn't think you were pulling in doing that. I was about to say, that would take some big cojones. You think you me now. You walk in there just, I'm about to piss everybody off.
That's your, I'm going to leave that to you.
You walking in there first day, I'm picking the Chiefs.
I know the Chiefs are doing their like road takeover for that game, so that'll be cool. And it'll just be red, so you won't see how many visiting fans are invading Atlanta.
Right now, we got Aaron Ladd joining us in studio. Happy to have him in studio. What are you going to miss most about Kansas City?
The people. I know that's a cheesy, cliche, corny answer, but it's true, man. And I was talking with that little goodbye thing. You were there. Rob was there. Appreciate y'all pulling up. I was talking with Charlie Keegan at KSHB, and just like, you know, you don't get into this thinking that I'm going to be super famous or I'm going to get rich or anything. It's all about impact. Like, I want to feel like I made a difference. Unlike you, I like giving back to the younger generation and, you know, helping lift people
you
up.
Spoke
and,
at Park Hill one time, you know, and now you've given back to the, you've given know, back to the community. You spoke at one school.
Getting all
the... And now
the,
who are you? You Bill Gates. You're so philanthropic. You spoke one time to some high school kids.
You done.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Getting all the messages yesterday, it was cool. Like, it's just cool to see that people, you know, a lot of times you forget that people even listen sometimes, like, when you've been doing it.
That's not a problem I have on this show.
Okay. All right, jeez. Rob, how? How do you do this?
That's not a problem we have on this show. I don't forget that. I can't speak for the news. I don't know how you guys are doing it in local
news. I'm going to miss the people. Stay in touch. My handle's the same. DM, anything like that. I'll be back in KC eventually. I'm not leaving forever. Well... temporarily.
When Missouri plays Georgia, who are you going to cheer for?
Come on.
I don't know.
I'm a Tiger, man.
I don't know.
The fan is coming back out now. You know, for
yeah,
a while,
I don't know who you're going
to
cheer for.
For a while, I had to tuck that, you know, kind of tuck the tail a little
who
bit.
Who are you cheering for, Royals or Braves?
The Braves.
you low-key kind of hate the Royals.
I don't hate the Royals. I don't hate any KC. Well, the only KC area team I hate is...
I don't know
Rob's
who it is.
The
team.
Most successful local organization. Yeah, okay. That's fine. The one team, that has the most banners. That's cool.
The team with the Adidas, the Adidas brown bags and the Wendy's.
Well, we don't. You know what? We have a new rule on this show. If your team has a losing record, we don't talk about you. That's the new rule.
That's not
that
true.
We have
the new rule is late night is coming. Let's go.
They replaced Nelly with the quickness. Yo, they got Nelly on up out of there.
Nelly's supposed to be late night.
Not anymore.
He was supposed to be late night?
Yeah.
And they brought a little scheduling conflict, I think.
What did Nelly do?
Scheduling conflict.
What did Nelly do? He out here being Mr. Nasty?
He got popped for some kind of drug.
Oh, he had the little P. Diddy party pack in the car.
Oh, come on, man.
That's what it said. Yo, he had the little P. Diddy party pack. Allegedly.
Funny.
I'm going to say allegedly here.
Nah, it ain't nothing alleged about P. Diddy.
I'm saying about Nelly. Nelly was alleged.
When the feds come and get you,
we know.
When the feds come and get you, they've had you for a while.
Fans did a sweep. It's 100% what happened. We got Aaron Ladd in studio. Aaron Ladd is moving to Atlanta. We will delete his number. He will never be on the show again.
All right. I'm going to remember that.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Back on the Drive, Aaron Ladd is here. This is Aaron Ladd's last segment on the show. He is moving to Atlanta.
Oh, man. Just feels like yesterday I graced... your little radio show here, your little program, your little whatever you do.
Ryan
here.
Ryan Wachowski used to say, "I want to come on your little podcast." Like that's what we're calling this thing here. What we're doing a little podcast here.
Appreciate you, man. No, this has been a full circle moment. This has been really cool. Appreciate you lifting me up, having me on the show.
You went to you and I have been to the same amount of Missouri games this year. I have been to one. You have been to one. I went to the game against Boston College. You went to the one against Murray State. You tell me which one was more important than the two. I thought it had been some time since we had seen a Luther Burden game. I knew that it was still there, but he hadn't had 100-yard day in over 8 games. You were just kind of waiting. At some point in non-con, he's too good of a player to not have one of those kind of games. It was a good game to get it. I know we kind of looked at Missouri's schedule as being weak in the preseason. Hey, if you played Boston College in the non-con, I'm not going to make it seem like that's Oregon or you played one of those kind of teams, but you play a team that has a number by their name in non-con, that's a good win for Missouri.
Well, he was sick the second game, or he was like dealing with an illness or whatever, so it was limited there.
They also just didn't need him in the first two games either.
I think that's part of it. You get the other guys going. Theo Weiss, I think, had 14 catches for buck something. Also, I do believe, and I've heard this a couple of times, I do believe Eli saves things. Like, he's not going to pull out. And I've heard similar things about Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Like, they're not running all of their plays early in the year in non-con, burning up their best ways to get Luther the ball. Like, I think, yes, you're right. It was a matter of time. And even in the Boston College game, after the disgruntled play or the broken play that gets them up 14-6, you always knew eventually that was how they were going to get back in the driver's seat. And before, it wasn't this last year, but they were always struggling to find, it seemed like he was going east-west instead of north-south. I really appreciate now with their offense, it's like, get him the ball in space past the sticks now. It's no more the jet sweep. Like, yeah, that's a feature, but it's not a major. Pat says it all the time. It's like, it's a minor. It's not a major. They don't major in that anymore. He's a game breaker that should touch the ball on every drive.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it was frustrating in their first couple possessions. Like, you guys have a top 10 pick on your team. Like, yeah. You guys were so good early in his career with end arounds and jet sweeps and making sure you give it to him on a screenplay. Like, give him the ball and let him make a guy miss. And once they did that, their offense really started to open up. I don't think that the coaching staff has gotten enough credit for. They have all but replaced their production they got last year from the running back position with two separate players. Now, Cody Schrader is going to go down as a Missouri legend. His name should probably be on the wall out there. But to lose a All-American running back and not miss a beat in the run game, they did a great job in the transfer portal replacing one of their most important offensive pieces last year.
Carroll and Noel being the two-headed monster. And early in this part of the year, I was waiting for them to, like, decide. You know, I was waiting for them, and people had asked Eli that, kind of like, all right, like, who's the leader in the clubhouse? Who's going to be your guy? And the whole time he's like, look, we got two really good running backs here, and we're going to use them that way. And they have like similar skill sets, but they both, to me, are north-south runners. I think eventually there's going to be a point where they say, who's our goal line back? Who's the guy that we want to go with and feed when it matters the most? But I really like Noel.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to head to Cleveland. Rob, who do we plan on having coming up at the top of the hour?
Zach Jackson from The Athletic. He covers the Cleveland Browns. He's basically Cleveland Nate Taylor. He'll be on the show at 3 o'clock.
So we're going to have him on the show in 10 minutes. We're going to get his thoughts on the Chiefs signing Kareem Hunt. We'll ask him the questions off the field about Kareem. How has that been the last handful of years? Also, what can he provide the Chiefs, as the Chiefs are obviously down a couple of running backs right now. Isaiah Pacheco is out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out. They needed to make a move. They have re-signed Kareem Hunt, so we'll learn more about him coming up at the top of the hour. I do have one thought about Kansas in a very serious sense.
The state or the school?
The school.
Okay.
One thing I don't think we do, and I think maybe it's like we know it, but it's kind of subconscious, is we will see something that's off when we watch these football games. Mm-hmm. And because, oh, it's just 1 week. It's just 1 week. You're overreacting. Like, you could see that something was wrong with Jalen Daniels. You could see that something was off,
like,
with their
physically?
Physically and mentally. He can't read defenses. Like, you don't make those throws that he's made so far, A, if you're confident in your arm, and if you can read defenses. He's not throwing hard luck interceptions. We've all seen them. Ball gets tipped. He is throwing it directly to defenders.
Carrington, he hasn't played football consistently. Like, you see this with Deshaun Watson. This is a guy, you can't take a lot of time off from playing high level. I mean, college football, Big 12 football, SEC football, that's professional football. You cannot take that much time off and be recovering from an injury and come back and be the same player. It was always going to be a little rust factor.
He is one more bad performance from them potentially benching him. One more. They are going on the road to West Virginia. If he plays poorly in the West Virginia game, the rumblings are starting. Was listening to the KU radio network, Brandon McAnus, we had him on the show. He suggested to have Cole Ballard as their starting quarterback. 3 games in, one of their biggest supporters is already suggesting to replace their quarterback. If he goes on the road and plays poorly against West Virginia, there is going to be a very serious conversation in Lawrence about their basketball starting 5, and then there's going to be a real serious conversation about replacing their starting quarterback.
I think what he's obviously a little rusty in, I'll give it rust, and I can't believe I'm shooting KU Bale right now, but he's a superior athlete.
I don't agree. I'm just saying is, I don't know if they're going to give him the time to figure it out, because their season, it could be hanging in the balance.
Oh, it's hanging.
I mean, hanging in the balance of life. Sure, KU making the postseason was always a super lofty goal. But this team can still win 7-8 games, make a bowl game, and that still be a year forward. They got a lot of money tied up into this new football project. They still got to sell a lot of tickets at a big stadium here. You can't afford to be playing football games at Arrowhead if you're 2-5. People ain't going to that.
I think the better conversation is Jason Bean was the better quarterback the whole time.
Probably.
And we kind of didn't have that conversation because Jalen was always hurt, and it was like, okay, well, when he gets back, it's still his team. He was the leader, quote unquote. And they tried to play that dance for a while. But now we're seeing no injury, no nothing. And it's like, okay, maybe there was a little something else here.
You know what? For the last time, I know you have it written down on your little phone there.
What's that?
We're going to give you 1 minute.
I don't need a minute today.
You don't need any minute today. You're not even prepared to do whatever you want to talk about today.
I don't really have a minute. I'm thankful. I don't have anything. I'm in that weird stage.
You don't have anything today.
My apartment is empty and it's nothing.
I do want to ask you this. This is a good final question for me to ever ask you on the show because you and I both like music. With somebody like P. Diddy, how do you move forward with him musically? Are you just not listening to him anymore? Because we all have an artist that you know is super problematic, but you still listen to their music and you just don't say anything about it. Are you just done listening to Puff? But then what do? He's produced so many other songs. You're just never listening to Biggie again. What do you do? It's so hard. It's so confusing.
And Puff is not, at least for me, obviously y'all know I'm 18 or whatever. Like I'm good with not listening to Puff anymore. And maybe some of like the early stuff. Eh. But I still will occasionally listen to like Robert Kelly music.
Okay. Wow.
Occasionally. Not out loud either. Like, I'm not blasting it out loud, but like, if I'm in the crib or in my headphones, like, step in the name of love.
That's crazy. I've actually done it in my head. I just stopped listening to Kanye at a certain point.
Sure.
Like, at that moment, I just, like, Kanye, like, mentally died in my life. So it's like, oh, okay, well, if I'll listen to anything after Life of Pablo, oh, it's okay. It's not that bad. I just don't listen to it anymore.
You don't listen to Robert Kelly anymore?
Like three songs.
Okay.
Like three songs. Rob, do you have this artist? You can't let us share in that you don't have the artist.
Michael Jackson.
What did Michael Jackson do?
What?
You know what? That's a great way to end.
What did Michael Jackson do?
Google it. I don't even have time to tell you.
What did Michael Jackson do?
Aaron Ladd, I appreciate you, man.
We finally going to dinner tonight.
We are. I'm taking you on a date later today. I can't wait. Me and Ladd are going on a date later today. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to head to Cleveland. We'll learn more about Kareem Hunt, who is the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.